Changed by Love is the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel, Morris Hills, located in Dover, New Jersey. Our desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application for our lives. With that in mind...
Psalmist says, we need not fear. I know some of you are not going to believe what I'm about to say, but you can lose your fear. You can. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. But as you continue to trust in God, preaching to yourself in your weakest of moments, most people begin to see some change.
We live in a world and in a time when many people are fearful. Many people are also restless, constantly worried, and lacking peace in their lives. But today, whether that describes you or someone you know, God wants you to know that can change. In Psalm 46, the Bible writer tells us about the presence of God and how that can lead us to the peace of God. This peace will help all of us when the world around us begins to crumble and we don't know where to run. To help this become a reality in your life, join Pastor Jim in part two of his message, Trusting God in Times of Trouble.
In case you are wondering if there's limits on God's help, the psalmist paints a picture of what in verse 2 and verse 3? The whole world falling apart. Everything is just completely becoming undone. Let's put it this way. This is like creation in reverse. Creation, God spoke and everything came into existence, but here everything is becoming undone. Total destruction. And the earth is personified as being terrified. The mountains, you look up, you're like, wow, look at that mountain. The mountains is trembling in fear. In other places in the Word of God, such language is used of what we call a theophany. This is basically an appearance of God. God shows up and everybody's trembling. You know, they're like, yeah, I got a few things to say to you. That's not going down. Everybody is absolutely trembling. And in this picture, we sort of get the idea of God coming in judgment. And he shows up, and everything begins to fall apart. But despite all the chaos, we can be confident the Lord is always with his people. He is a refuge. Therefore, the psalmist says, we will not fear. Now, how could this be? Is this just like spiritual mumbo jumbo? Is this just a bunch of talk? Like, oh, you know, I'm trusting the Lord, you know, all the miraculous stuff and this and that. And, you know, people then you really get to know them and they're like, oh, I don't really think like that. I got to act that way at church. You know the way some people have to act like at church? We don't want to do that here. Just be real. Be real. It seems to me that what he's writing about is not just stuff that's kind of in his head or trying to act spiritual or something like that. It seems to me that this is born out of the experience of God's faithfulness. Like to him, whatever he went through was like everything just falling apart. So instead of all the trouble decreasing his faith, decreasing his people who are with him's faith, it increased their faith. As they were looking for the hand of God in their trouble. Friends, that's a great thing to do. You know, sometimes people think, oh, trouble's happening to me, is there a God? Or trouble's happening to me, God must be unhappy with me. Or trouble's happening to me, where in the world is God? But if you look very carefully for what God is doing in the midst of your trouble, it's a great faith builder. It really is. And here's the thing. Friends, really, this is the truth. Right now, our world is completely shaken. That is not a metaphor. That is the world is completely shaken. You see those maps on the internet of all these places that are infected and stuff like that. And people are afraid. They're afraid for good reason. But you know what the psalmist is assuring us of? The Lord's not afraid. He's not afraid. He's sovereign. He knows what's going on. He has a plan. We may not know exactly what it is, but you know what? Sometimes we don't have to know. So from the gift of his presence, that he's ever present, he's always with us, we move to number two. In times of trouble, God gives us the gift of his peace. The gift of his peace. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. That's the place where God dwelled in Jerusalem. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Another verse says she shall not fall. The city of God, talking about the city as a she. Now, isn't it very interesting? The mountains are falling to pieces, but the city of our God is more stable than the mountains. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. You know, I think that little thing at the end there is really important. A lot of times in the ancient world, in the battles, they didn't have those night vision things. A big time they would attack would be right at daybreak, when the city was just kind of getting up and getting the kids up and getting everything ready, when they were most vulnerable and the army had been sitting there in the darkness. And then just as the sun started to come up, they would attack. And so here the psalmist says, listen, we know they're coming, but he will defend the city of God at the perfect time. Maybe you're really afraid right now, and I get that. God says, you can count on me to show up at the perfect time. Isn't it amazing that the way he has moved us from verse 2 and 3 to verse 4 and 5, from the fury of the ocean, from mountains being destroyed, the psalmist takes us to the peaceful waters of the city of God. He says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. What a difference, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I love rivers. I find them very, very relaxing. And for an agricultural society in which these people lived, not only was a river relaxing, but it was also a source of life as irrigation fed many people. Plus, most cities were built near rivers, which made it more difficult for armies to attack and made it easier to bring supplies in. So the picture has moved for us from the chaos and instability to God's perfect peace, God's perfect protection, and God's perfect provision. I don't know about you, but certainly these days, I think we need to sit at the stream. Now, you don't need a literal stream, but maybe you just need to sit in a quiet place. We're going to revisit Habakkuk this weekend, where he gets away with God and God actually speaks to him. Maybe as you get away with God and as you read things like Psalm 46 out loud, slowly, God will bring you peace. You will sense his protection. You will sense his provision. The point of the matter, I think, here in verse 4 and 5 is that no matter what goes on, no matter how unhinged the world becomes, no matter how unhinged your life becomes, there is peace in the place where God meets with his people. It is the peace of God. It surpasses understanding, the scripture tells us. It's a calm that can come over you knowing that God is with you. See, but it's not the city that brings peace. Now, we live close to New York. And so for us, even what's going on there now aside, we just say that's not a very peaceful place. But it's not the city that brings peace. It's the presence of God in the city that brings peace. It's the presence of God in your life, in the life of those you love, that can bring his peace. Now, this idea of the city of God is a theme in the Word of God, and the earthly Jerusalem is the home of the temple, where the people thought of the presence of God with his true people. But maybe instead of thinking of the city of God as a place, maybe we should think of it in terms of a person and his people. You see, what makes the city of God great, the eternal city of God great, is the presence of the Lord with his people. And therefore, the psalmist, reminding himself of that, reminding the Bible readers who are reading it at this their time and we are reading in our time, it reminds us that when we remember that God is with us all of the time, that the desired response or the goal we're shooting for is we will not fear. Now, I understand that comes and that goes. And God is okay with that. In other words, because God is so incredibly personal and so incredibly powerful, and that he's always with his people, the psalmist says, we need not fear. I know some of you are not going to believe what I'm about to say, but you can lose your fear. You can. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. But as you continue to trust in God, preaching to yourself in your weakest of moments, most people begin to see some change. Now, we've been talking about this in the past, that prior to the Babylonian invasion, many people thought Jerusalem could never be conquered. And some people thought that the word of God failed when it had been conquered because of what it says in other places in the Bible. Listen, Psalm 48:3, God is in her palaces, he is known as her refuge. But then remember, Ezekiel said that God left when the Babylonians came. Verse 8, as we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, that's 43:8, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. So either the word of God is wrong, or there is what the scripture refers to as a new Jerusalem. So the Lord is pointing to hope beyond the moment, hope beyond the city where they were living at that time, hope beyond our existence right now. They're in the midst of a crisis. He is pointing beyond that crisis, beyond the things of this world, to an eternal city. You see, it was easy for people to, for the people to put their hope and trust in the city because it had the temple, instead of putting their trust in the Lord. And what happened was, and this is a danger for all of us, the city for them, more specifically the temple, they thought, listen, they knew when the Assyrians came 100 years earlier than the Babylonians, that God defended their city. The temple and the city became their identity instead of God. So many people, if you talk to them, you say, are you Christian? Are you a follower of Jesus? Yes. Well, how do you know? They go, I go to church. Well, then was your identity in the church? The church is the people. The people. It's not the building. But many people, that's their identity in the church, or what they do at the church, or the activity of the church. Instead of being made glad, the glad people of God in the city of God, because their trust is in the Lord. So the prophets pointed us to the new Jerusalem, the place where great messianic hope was anticipated, and they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, who was the Lord and is the Lord Jesus Christ. But they still had it wrong when Jesus came. When Jesus came, they were holding on tightly to the temple. It had become an apostate. It had become a false place of worship. But people were so entrenched in what they were doing, as God said, in the stuff that man made up, that they lost their focus on God. They failed to put their trust in Jesus, the Messiah. They failed to even believe after the cross and the resurrection. Revelation 20 and through 22 talks about this. I'll just read one verse, Revelation 21:10. John writes, the Apostle John writes, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. That's the new Jerusalem. That's the city of God. The result will be what the Lord says often in the scriptures, they shall be my people and I will be their God. And the coolest of coolest things, he will walk among us. In fact, there he is. There he is. That's one of the cool things about being in a church where people are really walking with the Lord. Sometimes you're like, there he is. You know, you see someone who's really hurting, and then you see someone come alongside them and just, you know, really loving on them and caring for them. And I'm always looking at that. I'm like, there he is. There he is. Oh, I'm not talking about the people. I'm seeing Jesus in action. Loving people through people. That's really what more the church is supposed to be about. Not some building. You know, here's the church, here's the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. Not that. That's not what it's supposed to be. Let's join the saints of old, who, and saints are just the people who put their trust in God, who want to live faithfully today, yet long for this great future. A man like Abraham, listen to what it says about him in the New Testament. He was an Old Testament saint, but it says this in the New Testament, Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to a place, to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Let me ask you a question. Is that you right now? It's me. I have no idea where I'm going. We don't know what the next day is going to bring. But Abraham said, guess what, God? I'm going to go. I'm going to take that next step of faith. I'm not going to be foolish, but I'm going to take the next step of faith. But here's the reason I'm going to go, God, because you're going. And I want to go where you're going. Moses told God, we're not going anywhere without you. Verse 9, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Same for you too, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you put your trust in him. And I love this, verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You see, the earthly Jerusalem has been built by man. Abraham was looking for the city that would be built by God. Well, verse 6 and 7, the psalmist takes us back to earth and its complete chaos. We're trying to experience the peace of God still. And he says, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. Some versions say the kingdoms fall. He, God, uttered his voice, the earth melted. Another version says, the earth melts when he lifts his voice. The Lord of hosts, that generally is a term that has to deal with the angelic armies, is with us. Let's stop for one second, man. I definitely like the idea that he's with us and not against us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Other versions say he is our fortress. He is our stronghold. Selah. Stop. Think about it. Everything is falling apart. Chaos. But the Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, let me just say something very, very quickly. If you don't know anything about your Bible, Jacob is probably one of the biggest royal screw-ups in the Bible. I mean, people, when they come here, they go, oh, I'd like a free Bible. They start at the beginning. I always say, maybe you want to start at the beginning of the New Testament, hear about Jesus. But they, like a lot of people, they start at page one, and they reading Genesis, like, oh, this is very interesting, very interesting. And then they get to all other kinds of stuff that's going on. And then they get to Jacob's family. And they're like, what? They're just like his father. He's a lying schemer. But isn't it wonderful that by faith, God says, I'll be your refuge. No matter who you are or what you are or what you've done, God says, don't worry about it. Earth's falling apart. I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad to be your refuge. You just have to want me to be that for you. You just have to put your trust in me. So in verse 6, it's interesting. The psalmist is is looking ahead to the future, times will be not good sometimes. Things are getting worse and worse, but then the Lord speaks, and it's over. The same voice that creates the world dissolves the world. Why? To make way for the new heaven and for the new earth. Clearly, verse 6 speaks of the Lord's power, power to be feared by many. But verse 7 speaks of the grace of God for his people, that when it's all coming undone, that's one of the ways you're going to know that I'm with you. That's one of the ways you're going to know that I'm your refuge. When you see it all falling apart, that's how you can know that I am there. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is our refuge. Another version says he's our stronghold. What does that mean? He's so high up, nobody can touch him. He's a very present help. Verse 1, very present help, always there, a help in times of trouble. And so that's how he gives us his peace. Well, that takes us to number 3. In times of trouble, we get the gift of his protection. The gift of his protection. Verse 8 and 9. Come. The great invitation from the Bible. Come. That's it. Come. You're like, I'm a big sinner. I can't come, Pastor Jim. God says, come. Come. My son died on the cross for your sins. There's plenty, plenty to go around. Plenty of grace and forgiveness and love to go around. Come. And he says, look or behold. He says, come, behold. What does that mean? Well, when you behold something, you look at it very carefully. You read in books like he beheld her beauty or something like that. But a lot of times when we talk about it in the scriptures, it's to look with spiritual eyes. You say, I'm not so sure I have them. Ask God for them. So he says, come, behold, look with spiritual eyes. Behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations, some versions say devastation, in the earth. He makes wars to cease. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Isn't that interesting? So much of a protector is God that he will make wars to cease. Now, Bible scholars debate when the occasion of the writing of Psalm 46 is. Most think it's, if you're taking notes, you can read it on your own, 2 Kings 18 and 19, when Assyria invaded Judea, Jerusalem, in the days of King Hezekiah. Others think it's when the armies from the east came against King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, if you're taking notes. My question to you is, does it matter? I don't think so. I think what matters is that we know that God is our defense, that we know God is our security, that our trust is in the God of the heavenly city, that our trust cannot be in our government. And I don't think there's too many people who are going to debate that statement right now. But yet it says of Jesus in Isaiah 700 years before he came, Isaiah 9:6, if you're taking notes, that the government will be upon his shoulders. That's the government I want to live under. That's the city I want to live in. And so this is what verse 8, 9 really encourage us for in difficult times, to look forward to those days, to look forward to when Jesus rules.
Thank you for listening to Change by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Dover, New Jersey. Our desire here at Changed by Love is simply to bring you the life-changing message of Jesus Christ by teaching you the Bible in a simple, easy-to-follow way. With that being said, we try to put our messages into as many people's hands as possible for a very low cost and often free of charge to anyone who contacts us. Did you know that all of our messages can be found for free on our website? ChangedByLoveRadio.com. That's ChangedByLoveRadio.com. Please check out our website and hit the Contact Us button to tell us something about yourself or to request a CD copy of a message. Here at Changed by Love, we depend on the grace of God, as well as the generosity and prayers of our loyal listeners. So thank you to all of you who are prayerfully and financially supporting our program. We would love to hear from you and pray that you drop us a card or a letter to Changed by Love, 158 West Clinton Street, Dover, New Jersey, 07801. And don't forget to contact our friends at this radio station and tell them you are being blessed by Changed by Love. It would be a great encouragement to them. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here on this station, for more practical Bible teaching through God's Word with Pastor Jim Kevney, passionately proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that needs to hear.